motor on those kids later when she found out we went downtown and watched all of them.
She was afraid you were going to get hurt, wasn't she?
Right, because we didn't know what might happen at the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there's a lot that I don't remember, too, you know, as far as a lot of the feelings. And we, of course, let me tell you how things worked when I was a young girl. You know,
okay.
Of course, we did not have blacks in school when I was in school. In high school, there was the white school and there was the black school. The black school being really a better school than our high school, because I graduated up in what you know is the middle school, and the vocational school today was the black high school. So it was really more modern and more up to date than with our high school.
Well, that's really ironic, because usually it's the other way around.
Mm-hmm. And so at the time, I, of course, being reared like I had been reared, I never felt that I was prejudiced, but you know, looking back, I realize I accepted things the way they were in the world at that time, because this is the way they had been during our whole life. And we had always had some black people that worked for us, and of course their children would come over and play with us all the time, and I was crazy about them, even though we didn't go to school together and we didn't do anything socially together. When I was young, well, as a matter of fact, when I was in college, you know, if there were a public water fountain, one would say white and one would say black, and or colored. It was the appropriate thing at that time. You know, now I think how sad it was that, you know, black people could not eat in a restaurant. They couldn't stay in a motel unless it was a black motel. In the restaurant, usually there was a room in the back that was for the colored man. And, of course, like I say, we just thought nothing of that because this is the way it had been, and we just felt like that was the way it was supposed to be. Mm-hmm. Now, I think, well, wasn't it sad? And wasn't it hard for them to travel? So I've seen a lot of change with the black and white folks.
Okay, that's good. We're moving. You've seen several years of it, and how do you think things such as the Million Man March, do you think it's similar to what you saw?
You know, as I watched the Million Man March, and I really felt like this was a black man kind of being dissatisfied with all the affirmative action, et cetera, et cetera. And I did not watch all that much of the Black Man March. But what I heard a lot of the blacks who had managed to be very successful not be in favor of the way that the other blacks were marching. And I heard somebody, one of the blacks who was marching, criticize this person who is a part, I think, of the president's cabinet, saying that, well, you wouldn't be where you are today, you know, had it not have been for the affirmative action and what have you. You know, I'm sure at one time there had to be something to allow the black man who was not as qualified due to his lack of education, etc. I'm sure at this time something had to be done. But, you know, now I don't want a job given to me because I'm a woman, and I just don't feel like anybody needs something given to them, a scholarship or what have you, unless they've earned it. How many years is this that they have had the opportunity to catch up in the educational system? The first year I taught school at Cherokee County High School, which was 1995-96, no, it was 96-97, was the first year that Cherokee County High School was integrated. I had five black young women in my classes. I was really a little nervous when I went to class because I did not know how things would be. It was my second year to teach school, and I taught girls PE, so I had every girl that was at the high school, and five of them were black. One or two were horrible students, troublemakers. one or two were excellent students. So, you know, it's real funny. After a while, I really got to where I didn't notice whether they were black or white, because I had white students that were troublemakers that weren't real good, and then I had white students that were excellent students. So I began to see them more as students than as black or white.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them, one of the girls, I'm kind of had kept up with what she had done, and she later on became a doctor.
Oh, really?
We always back during the days that I was in college and that first year I taught, felt like the NAACP paid the students a big sum to integrate the school.
Mm-hmm.
And I still feel like that there was some money involved, because the black student gave up a lot. I really felt sorry for some of them that came out to Cherokee County High School that year, because they were top students at Hatcher High, at the black school. And, of course, they weren't being noticed at all at Cherokee County High.
Mm-hmm.
At Hatcher, they were in the homecoming court. They were the homecoming queen. They were everything that was elected.
Mm-hmm.
And they were getting nothing at Cherokee County High School.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a little bit sad to me for them those first few years.
Mm-hmm. So you got to see both ends of it. You got to see them going to the college and then the schools integrated. So you got a good view of both sides.
I certainly was active as a student as a teacher during the times of integration.
I hadn't thought about it until you just said that, but you got both views of it.
Mm-hmm.
That's really good. One thing that you mentioned I want to go back to, you were talking about the Million Man March. I was wondering, what were your views in the 60s of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.?
I'm afraid they weren't real positive. I felt like he was a troublemaker at the time.
Do you know how the other students felt, what the general feeling was?
I was being normal.
Yes.
So we just felt like he was out causing trouble, and we thought we were providing very well for the black students, you know, or that they were being provided for, and we didn't know why he was going around doing all that he was doing.
Mm-hmm. Since then, have you changed your views about him?
I think had it not have been for people like Dr. Martin Luther King, the black person would not have had the opportunity that he has today. So I guess my view would be a little changed there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think probably he did this in much more of a dignified manner than a lot of those since him have done.
I don't want to try to lead you.
Okay.
How do you feel about Mr. Farrakhan? How do you see him?
I'm not sure that I really have anything.
Okay. That's good. This is Amy Williams interviewing Miss Betty Graves. We're going to pick up now after we check the tape and flip it over. Okay, Miss Graves, you wanted to tell me about your childhood and your family.
I want to tell you a little bit, since we're talking about the black-white, I want to tell you a little bit about the attitude that I grew up with about black people. It so happened that my grandmother, who lived next door to us, grew up in a family who had Negro slaves. And when the slaves were freed, there were two Negro women that did not choose to leave because they had nowhere else to go.
Mm-hmm.
So they lived with the family. As a matter of fact, they lived in a little house right behind the house that my grandmother grew up in. When my grandmother and granddaddy married, Min and Lone, the two women, still lived there. And Min and Lone did all the cooking. East Mama used to say that they wouldn't even let her in the kitchen because she'd get in their way. And that was their kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
East Mama nursed these black mammies, as she referred to them. And Nan died when my mother was in college. Lone had died sooner. And by that time, after Lone died, they moved men in, after men died, they moved Lone into the house, and one of the little rooms was Lone's room. And when she was real sick, my grandmother really nursed her until she did die. So, you know, I always heard stories of men and Lone, and, you know, at the time, my grandmother and the family were awfully good to these used to be Negro slaves, or as my mother always referred to as her nanny, with Lone was the one she died of. And I think Lone straightened her out. So I grew up with this view of the black person.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was a real special black family. The mother used to work for my grandmother. They lived in that little house behind my grandmother and granddad after Nanny and Lone had died. And this family, one of the daughters used to babysit us, my sister and I, when we were young. And, you know, I thought this whole family just hung the moon. They were just really special to me.
Mm-hmm.
I never really remember wondering why they didn't go to school with me. I just took for granted and just accepted the fact that they went to the black school and we went to the white school. Except we didn't call it, it wasn't black and white, then it was colored and white. You know, it's a little funny how our terminology has changed, too, over the years. So, you know, I always cared a lot about the black person, and I always, you know, I guess I felt like there was a different place for them at that time than I did the white person. But I really always accepted them. And Mary Elizabeth, one of the young girls who used to babysit us, used to, she could dance like you have never seen. And so she would always try to teach my sister and me how to dance. And I can remember, you know, watching some of the TV programs and, you know, thinking of the TV programs. I remember that the black people really did not have leading roles in the TV programs. I know in some of the movies that we would watch, the black people would have a role, such as, it was kind of funny because they were always scared and their eyes would get real big. And, you know, I came along during a time, and this would be, this would really upset people today, but, you know, people would black their faces and have these minstrels. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, when I was in high school, there was a minstrel that was in the center, and I sang and danced in the minstrels. And the black people in town just thought it was so funny. Now, they, of course, could not go to it, but they'd peep in the window to watch us all blacked up. They thought, this is just hysterical.
So they didn't get upset at it?
No, they didn't think this was making fun of. They enjoyed it. They really thought it was fun and funny. And so, you know, I think one of them helped, one of the ladies that worked for my mother even helped me black my face so I could get ready for this minstrel. So we did not have problems with the blacks and the whites, to my knowledge.
Yeah. Do you know of, like, in the county, other people, were their views about the same as yours?
I feel like I was just very typical of the people during that time. I don't think that I heard the controversy or anything until, I think before Vivian Maloney entered the University of Alabama, Authorine Lucy had tried to enter, and this was in the 50s, which would have been when I was in high school, and I want to say around 57, but that was probably when something else happened.
It was right around,
And, of course, she was not allowed to. Well, it was around this time that things began to get a little uneasy. And the black man was really wanting to have the same rights that the white man had. And until that time, I really don't remember. Of course, I was much younger before then, too, so I would not have been as aware. But I can remember going, we used to think it was more fun when Hatcher had a football game to go over and watch him play and watch the Hatcher High School cheerleaders cheer. And, you know, it didn't bother them a bit. They used our football stadium to play their games in. And they'd love for us to come watch and never thought a thing about it. So when I was in high school, we would go watch the Hatcher team play ball.